Hello and welcome to episode 235 of the official EstablishTheRun.com podcast. My name is Adam Levitan and I am back for the final market update of this offseason. I appreciate everyone who has tuned into these. Hope it's been helpful. As always, this podcast is designed to get you up to speed very quickly on recent average draft position, aka ADP movement in the fantasy football market. In the show notes, you can find a free link to charts and the full article on this topic from ETR Director of Analytics and the man behind all this, Mike Leone. Note that if you are following me on Twitter, at Adam Levitan, all one word, you know how important I think first team preseason usage is. I'll be talking to Evan tomorrow about everything we saw in week 3 preseason and how it's affecting the rankings, so stay tuned for that. We'll also be talking about a lot of the injury fallout stuff that I'm going to touch on today. By the way, reminder that if you plan to stick with us through the season for fantasy, for DFS, for props, and for general hijinks and fun, you need the in-season package. Head to the subscribe page to check that out. Time is running low to get the bundle, aka our best price. Let's begin with the risers from the last 7 days. Obviously, James Robinson is the biggest riser, seeing him shoot up into the late third round even at times, typically in the fourth round, or at worst, very early in the fifth. Of course, this stems from Travis Etienne's season-ending foot injury. I think people overestimate how good James Robinson was last year because he had absolutely unheard-of volume, handling nearly 100% of the Jaguars' running back touches for much of the season. The biggest correlation between fantasy points and running backs is straight volume. Wide receiver, it's more talent. Tight end, it's more talent. Not at the running back position. It's so volume-dependent. James Robinson last year was PFF's number 28 running back out of 62 qualifiers. You know, not terrible, but far from elite. I like James Robinson. I'm worried that the donkey Urban Meyer will give his buddy Carlos Hyde too much work. I'm worried that J-Rob's pass game role will not be what we want. But the bottom line is that in that 4-5 range, where James Robinson is kind of going now and sometimes even earlier, I'm going wide receiver almost every time. You know, sometimes Kyle Pitts, sometimes Mark Andrews, maybe some Josh Allen, but it's just really rare that I want to go running back there. So I'm lukewarm on this James Robinson ADP pump. It will mostly be a pass for me. Other big riser for obvious reasons is Gus Edwards in the wake of J.K. Dobbins' unfortunate ACL tear. You know, I've been taking a decent amount of Gus Edwards in round 10 and 11 for reasons that we've talked about on this podcast all summer. Baltimore clearly likes him a ton. Gave him a $10 million extension when they certainly did not have to. I thought a 40-60 split between Gus and Dobbins was realistic. Now I think it's fair to project Gus for that 60% role, but he's a worse pass catcher than Dobbins and a worse talent. So again, I think we'll see Gus go too high for my taste. His ADP is likely to spike into the third or fourth round when the dust settles. You know, they're going to use Tyson Williams. Shout out to Team Preseason. They're going to use Justice Hill. And I think that they could really bring in a back also that will also play. A couple other quarterback risers, Jameis Winston and Teddy Bridgewater, are both on the rise after being named their team's starters. In standard one quarterback leagues, I don't think really either are in play as pure pocket passers in defensive-minded schemes in offenses which will try to play somewhat conservatively this season. You know, and even in two quarterback leagues, I think we can often do better than these guys, given the lack of weaponry for Jameis Winston and Teddy's limitations as a vertical thrower as well. And I also add that I suspect Taysom Hill and Drew Locke will get their chances this season. So, you know, at the back end there, give me Zach Wilson, give me Baker Mayfield, give me Ryan Fitzpatrick, give me Sam Darnold over these guys. Speaking of the Saints, last riser we're going to touch on is Marquez Callaway. I mean, he has gone absolutely nuclear. With Michael Thomas out indefinitely, you know, Traquan banged up, the depth chart at wide receiver so thin, vertical throwing, Jameis Winston winning the job, the highlight reel preseason. I mean, Callaway is up. I've seen him go in the eighth round. I've seen him go even in the seventh round at times. I think the range of outcomes on Marquez Callaway is really wide. Like, the bull case is obvious. Jameis holds the starting job all year. He's extremely aggressive. Michael Thomas never returns. Callaway is the clear number one. The bear case on Marquez Callaway is this is just a short-term flash, you know, a Travis Fulham-type flash. He loses the alpha role along the way as Traquan and Deontay Harris return and siphon off some work. Michael Thomas returns earlier than expected. Taysom makes starts. You know, that's all the bear case stuff. Still, I like taking shots on Callaway when he slips to round 9 or 10. I like him better than Henry Ruggs, Russell Gage, Darnell Mooney types, but I'm not taking Callaway over guys like Marquise Brown, Corey Davis, Mecole Hardman, Devontae Smith. Lots more risers to get to, like Sony Michel and others. We'll hit them tomorrow with Silva, so stay tuned for that. Let's get to the fallers. As for the two fallers, you know, the two big fallers, they're both running backs. Michael Carter is sinking like a stone. We know that he'll be part of a three running back committee at best to start the season. At worst, it will be all Tevin Coleman and Ty Johnson when the Jets play the Panthers in week 1 in the Sam Darnold Bowl. So yeah, I mean, I've backed off Michael Carter. I now prefer to take him closer to around 11 or 12 if he's there. I just want to be really careful about falling into the trap of trying to draft the best week 1 team. Our goal is not to draft the best week 1 team and win the league right now. Our goal is to draft the team that will win in the end. So I still think Carter's profile sets up well, and he's a really good candidate to capitalize on the chaos of a 17-game season. Other big faller is Daryl Henderson, and this one is tough because I think Sony Michel could end up handling all or most of the short yardage slash goal line work, and that was a decent part of Henderson's projection, you know, on a really good team which runs at the goal line a lot. Now, Daryl Henderson has dropped really far, 6th or 7th round at times. He's still the most explosive back on the Rams. He's still the one without arthritic knees. He's still the one who projects to get the pass game work from a really good quarterback in Matthew Stafford. So in these hero RB builds, the builds that I like to do, where I'm looking to round 6, 7, 8 for my second running back, I think Daryl Henderson makes sense there. You know, round 7, DeHendo or Gaskin or Javonte Williams. A little later, maybe, you know, Chase Edmonds or Damian Harris, Raheem Mostert, A.J. Dillon, Trey Sermon. I mean, there's a lot to chew on there in those zero or hero RB builds as you get into round 6, 7, 8, and I would consider Daryl Henderson to be in the mix there as well. All right, I'll be back with Silva tomorrow to go through what he thinks matters from this and how he's been changing his top 150 with all these injuries and trades and preseason usage nuggets. In the meantime, head to our in-season content schedule if you want to get full 3.9 ahead of week 1. I mean, it's exciting, all the new additions that we have. You can find our in-season content sched on the drop-down from the Our Team menu. For producer Luke, for Mike Leone, I am Adam. Good luck, everybody.